Okay, let me try to be as honest as I can. So this will take about 1 hour, and then you can stop me. And then Betanzas will take another 15 minutes maybe, right? But first, let me try to put it into perspective. So the whole story is actually about Fourier transform. So what is Fourier transform algebraically? Just an automorphism of Heisenberg, or its deformation, while algebra, or non-commutative torus, while Q. So very simple, so well known to everyone. Ddx will go to x, and x will go to minus ddx. Geometrically. While algebra is controlled by elliptic curve, or the product of elliptic curves, unramified curves. Coverings, unramified coverings of elliptic curve, or more generally, of E to N, or elliptic curve. You will stay here for elliptic curve. Okay, so here we are. So what is Dacha? Dacha is deformation of Heisenberg. Or while, let me stick to the difference case, so it will deform while. So the notation, at least in my papers, is WHQT. So an extra parameter will appear. So we have Q here. One more parameter will appear. Generally, more than just one parameter, up to four parameters in the classical theory, and there are some special cases when the number of parameters is even greater. So Dacha deforms Dacha HQT deforms while Q. Practically directly, I will show you the formulas, you will see how simple it is actually. So geometrically it is interesting. It is now about unramified coverings, but for E with one puncture, or more generally, E to N minus Dyack. And this explains everything. The simplest possible representation of Dacha, let me assume now that there are three different theories. So the first theory is Q is smaller than 1. The second theory is mod Q equals 1, Q is not root of unity. And there is the third theory, so much important, rational models, minimal models, when Q is a root of unity. Then the simplest, absolutely the simplest, irreducible, finite dimensional because of roots of unity representation of Dacha is just generalized Verlinde algebra, to be more exact, non-symmetric, generalized with one extra parameter, generalized Verlinde. They're called perfect representations because really they cannot be better. They have all the structures. So they have S operator, T operator, multiplication, of course, semi-simple, and then they have inner products. So all the structures present here. Okay, here we are. And then the most valuable thing here is, maybe it's not surprising for you, is S. So this S is directly the new concept of Fourier transform, which is somehow geometrically exactly about the story about En minus Dyack. And many applications, if you, so why it is so much important? For instance, a recent application, the reproducing kernel of Fourier transform solves reproducing kernel solves McDonald Ruzinar's eigenvalue problem. Ruzinar's eigen problem. Moreover, it gives the best possible solution with perfect behavior at the boundary, which is very much valuable. Then if you just play with the parameters, if you send t to zero, you will get something which is presumably directly connected with Gaiss-Gorrie-Luria. transform anyway. If you have somehow Fourier transform with reservation about Mukai transform, I really don't know, then it is very likely that it can be covered by this picture. So Gates-Gourie theorem is due to Gates-Gourie, actually. Question mark here, question mark. Very difficult to identify. Definitely it must be. It gives QV taker function, which is presumably the reproducing kernel of their transform at level of K naught. But I will, if I have time, but it will be on top of these 15 minutes, I will explain something, right? But at least one thing is obvious. Immediately, if you consider the same limit, it goes to zero, then you will get Q Vtaker function right away. And this connects Givental-Li K-theory, quantum K-theory of flag varieties, connected with affine Grassmannian. With Schubert reproducing function for Schubert for some polynomials of Schubert cells, fine. This is known, of course. This is factorial. Here we have question mark, big question mark, because identification is very difficult actually. Fine. Grassmannian.
There's a question mark, but here is exclamation point.
Yeah, right. Yeah, this is known for arbitrary systems. Done. So QV taker, which can be obtained exactly from this new constant of Fourier transform. To be more exact, from its reproducing kernel, controls many things, and presumably appears practically everywhere when we have Fourier transform with some obvious reservations. Some of them are of very much algebra geometric nature, then there are no reasons to expect.
Exchanges Q and T?
Yeah. Here it is, X and Y. For a while, it is just Y goes to X, and X goes to Y minus one, trigonometric one. Okay, so let me now erase it. It is just an introduction, zero level, and then I will begin exactly with the last block, with elliptic configuration space. And from now on, everything, I believe, will be very much understandable to both physicists and mathematicians. At least this stuff is known to absolutely everyone in this room. I am very much positive, so I'm switching to one. Quantum anybody. Elliptic. Dxi. And then I'm supposed to put here some actually here, for instance. I is not J. So here we have H2. Tutalshinesky Prilomov and others, there is H3, H4, etc., etc., and they are pairwise commutative. P, this row actually, not P exactly, stays for a Weierstrass function for the periods 2πi works 2πi eta in this normalization. It is a free parameter solution. Okay, here we are. So we have the theorem that this operator is integrable, which means that there is H3 when you begin with the sum of the third derivatives and so on and so on and so on. Okay, good. So elliptic configuration space, it is exactly where it sits.
What is K?
Arbitrary parameter complex so far. Where it sits, indeed. So you introduce the elliptic curve right away. Divided by 2πi z plus e to z. And of course, you remove the diagonals. You remove delta. Delta means, of course, that you assume that all these points or numbers or complex numbers are pairwise distinct. So remove diagonals. Simple, right? But it is not the end of the story. So we need to divide because it is totally symmetric. We need to divide this thing by symmetric group. Now we're done. So configuration space is just you remove the diagonals because of this xi minus xj and divide by symmetric group, of course. Everything is nice. And then immediately there is a definition of Daha in this business. So Daha is pi 1. Fair, okay, let me say a little something. There is an immediate reformulation. It is bunch G for G, when G is GLN of what? Of elliptic curve. And then, of course, we need to put here regular part. Regular part means which is just O Z1 plus O over elliptic curve. One single elliptic curve. Plus O Z. These guys are points on the elliptic curve. And of course they are different, otherwise you will have problems, of course. If they coincide, you need to be much more specific. It's not difficult, of course, but still you need to be much more exact here. But if it is under this constraint, then of course it is simple. Okay, so we're done. We're calculating the pi 1 of LVP configuration space, or we're doing exactly the big cell. We say in mathematics, we say big cell. Some kind of open subset which controls everything. So, and a good portion of mathematics, I would say 90% of the modern mathematics, is how to extend something from big cell to the boundary. So, and as I mentioned, we have this the technique which is based on Fourier transform. We have not just functions, solutions of quantum anybody, but we have solutions with the best possible behavior till the boundary. And algebraic geometry is controlled by Goretzky-McPherson normally. I mean, canonical extensions. So here we have new twist, and believe it or not, it is based on Berlin, exactly on Berlin algebra. At least conceptually, definitely it is true. Okay, here we are. So, so what is Daha? You just take pi 1 and the post-quadratic relations for T letters. T letters, of course, half a turn, so T. I will show you the pictures, but this is just exchange of ZI and ZJ, canonical exchange, the simplest possible, so to say, right? Of course, I need to provide you with the pictures, but there will be some pictures later, not now. So TI is just, TI and I plus 1. We just exchange neighboring this here. Half a turn, we say, right? And we assume that half a turns are quadratic. So this is, of course, of group nature. This is a group, right? Then you divide the corresponding group algebra, C of this guy. Okay, C, which means group algebra, divide by quadratic relations, which are the same for all T's. A and B are just same for T's. There is a reason for this, because you have braid relations, you cannot, if you impose it once, you automatically are supposed to impose the quadratic relations with the same A and B's here, because of the braid relations. Very strong reason. Otherwise, of course, it would be great to have so many parameters, free parameters. They are not free. You have two of them only, two free parameters.
I'm assuming that A times B is 1.
No. It's an interesting story. I will discuss it in full detail later. This is exactly how elliptic curve appears. Let me explain how. You need to calculate the monodromy. Very good calculation. Generally, there is a technique, very good technique, which is called Chernik-Matsuo theorem. You just make it a system of the first order, I mean all H's together, of course, right? You make it first order system, but in matrices, of course, naturally in vectors. And then you can calculate the monodromy without problems, and you can prove that there is some quadratic relation. A and B's are not too difficult to control. What is very difficult to control, unfortunately the problem is transcendental, is the periods, the monodromy of this particular local system with respect to translations, with respect to periods. This is an unfortunate transcendental problem. This is why I'm not so much enthusiastic about this particular track. Yes. There are some formulas not typical to get. Yes. So far there we have just two parameters, A and B. In Daha, they will become Q and T later.
No, but in second order problem, you have K.
Yes. Of course, there is a formula in terms of k and e, a direct formula like x pi I k for one guy. But anyway, there's some mixture of this term. So this is doable, absolutely doable. This is simple part, difficult part, and unfortunately, there is no expectations for good solution. Is to calculate the periods with respect to translations. You can apply here periods, right? Say periods horizontal periods, right? These guys or these guys, and then you will get what you get. You will get something transcendental, unfortunately.
But you're saying that this quotient is Daha?
Yes, it is Daha. C group algebra stays for the group algebra. Yes, it is exactly Daha. Double affine KK algebra. Double affine KK algebra. Right? But you see it is practically immediate, at least for GLN. Then I will discuss today only the case of SL2, the simplest possible case. We call it A1. And then let me switch to standard annotations from root systems. It is, things will be only better actually for arbitrary root systems. So let me, first this is nice. You will get immediately here x alpha. X alpha is x inner product with alpha. So I need to somehow here to fix a root system. Could be GLM. This is exactly what we discussed. A root system, reduced irreducible, to simplify my life a little bit. Then X alpha, it is exactly what I put already, is alpha inner product. We have inner product, of course, root systems are defined for inner product. Let me assume that no extra notations are necessary. So we have inner product here. Then we have coordinates, x alphas. And when we have more than alphas, we have the lattice u. Okay, maybe I will not need it, so let me skip it for a while. We will see. If necessary, I will add more notation. So here, of course, you will get immediately the Laplacian, which is the sum of derivatives with respect to x alpha i's for simple roots times the dual fundamental weights, but it doesn't matter anyway, Laplacian, natural Laplacian here. K, surprising k times k minus 1 is unchanged with one change. Now it can depend on the length of alpha. So there will be two parameters for BC, four parameters for the guy which is maybe known to some of you, C check C, and there are some other twists here. For specialists, I'm not doing here in Aziemsov systems and stuff like this. So it is just pure main tract here. Of course, so what are the changes here? So e to n is, of course, unchanged. Now n will be the rank of the root system seats in R to n. But here there are some immediate problems. So normally you are supposed to remove following topology, following Briskorn, say, ramification of W. Because before the division for W, W is finite wide group, symmetric group, for instance, you need to remove the whole ramification. Don't do this, because we have something which is predescribed, predetermined by the quantum many-body problem. So remove only the component through zero. So you will have coordinate cross, very easy to define, to be discussed in full detail in rank one. And then take only one of them. Don't remove the whole ramification. Remove only something which goes, the components which go through zero. And then immediately here you need to use orbital, because if you remove the whole ramification, this classical topology, you can divide by any group. But if you remove some ramification, doesn't touch ramification at all, you need to use orbifolds actually here. It looks a little bit frightening, but it is, in topology this is extremely simple. I will just calculate it. Practically, I'm almost done. So with elliptic configuration space, here we are. So we have elliptic configuration space, En minus D naught, a little bit mysterious at the moment, but it will be clarified. Then you divide it by W. Then you calculate it orbifold from the first fundamental group, and again divide by quadratic relations. But now there is some flexibility, as you understand. Following the very spirit of this approach, I can add here AI, BI, but I will depend only on the length. Again, there are two choices for BC, and four choices for C checks here. Not a great deal. Normally, I just skip it, right? I put it here, AB, 1K here. It is really not that important. Unless you do a real serious application, then, of course, the greater the number of parameters, the better. And here, of course, it will be just reflection. Ki will stay for reflection, which is S alpha I. Everything is perfectly well defined. By the way, reflections and all W's are given by formulas in terms of integral coefficients, or it is perfectly legitimate to apply them to elliptic curve. Elliptic curve has addition and subtraction. So you can, and of course, multiplication by integers here. So this is well defined, of course, right? Because reflections like x to minus x and so on are perfectly defined for elliptic curves. Okay, for specialists, it is so-called untwisted case. There is another problem with twisted case, which is even more relevant here. But this is just straight definition, absolutely direct. Okay, here we are. We're done. And now let me calculate this stuff. I need to say a little something about H3. H4 and so on. So it is due to Ashima, Uchiai Ashima Sekiguchi, Uchiai Ashima. Ashima is a classic of harmonic analysis, Sekiguchi. For BC, and it was proven in my paper for arbitrary row systems using Daha, the technique of Daha, the only known proof that really you have H3, H4, and all of them for arbitrary row systems is based on degenerate Daha, degenerate double Fankin algebra.
They are orders of the Casimirs.
Yeah, yeah, sure. They are just when symmetric polynomials. Invariant polynomials with respect to W, you consider polynomials. Yes, but we call it no good name. We call it elliptic Kolajero-Moser sometimes, elliptic quantum anybody, or Alchanetsky Perelomov or whatever. Actually,
but this was known for GLN.
Alchanetsky Perelomov definitely for GLN with some gaps, by the way, in the proofs. But this was simple. They found this stuff mainly at classical, quasi-classical level. It was known well before, actually, including integrability. The problem was to lift the integrability to the quantum level when you have fair, honest operators.
What was this done for?
My paper was like 20 years ago. It was written like 17 years ago, something like this anyway. More or less the end of the story. Ashima Sekiguchi was like 20 years ago. So the end of the story. But it appears that you need to have technique, some special technique. You need exactly the same story for Daha, but not in this general variant, but in some degenerate variant. So you can manage it. You can construct all these operators.
Because for the GLN, there is a way to identify it with the
Hitchin
system.
Yeah. Absolutely. But you need to give me something on top of 1 hour and 15 minutes. Yeah, absolutely. So let me explain you really what I mean here. So you have HIs. Let me go back to the GLN case to simplify notation. So here we have lambda 1, lambda n. So you solve the corresponding problem, right? And then the story is, because of the identification I gave you, that if you fix lambda 1, lambda 2, lambda n parameters, you will immediately get a 1D module on what? On band G. Immediately, because it is exactly identification. The erase is identification.
It's not band G, but it's one component dimension, right?
Open cell. Absolutely, open cell plus this constraint about quadratic relations, which is important. Yes. One component, so you need to be here precise. But because of this identification, you fix lambda 1, lambda 2, and immediately read 1D module from your bunch. So it works like Hitchin system, and it is actually a special case. There is a connection with Hitchin system. But definitely it works like Hitchin system. But the interesting story is very similar to your old paper with Boris Sagan, is that you have lambda 1, lambda 2, n parameters, but the general local system of this type depends on 2n parameters because it's a symplectic variety. This is always the same very interesting story. So this is the case of critical central charge, trivial central charge, exactly as in your old papers.
But also the existence of this Hamiltonian comes.
This is different. Concerning symplectic structure, all the stuff you need to follow my lecture. I will explain it, at least in the rank one here. But you're absolutely right, because of this identification, we are doing Hitchin problem at least, right? Well, actually, we are doing, there's some direct connection with Hitchin system. But again, we will discuss it.
Are you going to explain that connection to Hitchin system?
Maybe later. But actually, the connection is with KZB mainly, right? Connection goes through KZB. But anyway, I can say something. But at the moment, I'm just making a trivial statement that if you fix any complex number lambda 1, you will have 1D module of the desired type here, moreover with some special quadratic monodrome property.
Is it just the Hitchin system?
It is connected, so far I'm making a statement that it serves like a Hitchin system.
But it's not.
There are some connections, but it will take time to explain. It goes through affine Grassmannians. Yeah, I need to do some work here. Okay, let me just disregard this question. With all due respect, I have no time for this, definitely. But you're absolutely right. The direction is exactly towards the description of all D modules with some maybe prescribed properties, all of them, not some of them. Quantum anybody, elliptic quantum anybody gives only some of them, all of them, on the elliptic configuration space, which is exactly the regular path of the bunch, the corresponding bunch. Okay. Okay, here we are. So we're switching from 1 to 2. And we're supposed to do the following. To take elliptic curve, just remove one point, and to divide it by z2 minus z to the reflection. There is only one. W is very simple. So we have just reflection. Yes, reflection. Okay, immediately we see that on the elliptic curve, reflection has 4 ramification points. Remove only one, because we cannot remove a greater number of points. It is absolutely irrelevant, because the corresponding quantum many body, which is Lama equation, has only one pole, actually. Pole exactly at this particular z. So no need, unless you are doing an Azemsa system and stuff like this, you just remove one point. How to do it? This is very simple. So here we have one puncture. Let me just use square picture here. So we have here punctures. This is 0 here. Of course, translated by the periods. Then you put star somewhere not at the puncture. Then you have x here. You have y here. And as I promised already several times, you have t here. Half a turn. So what is fundamental group? The orbifold fundamental group. Very simple. You begin with star and finish with any point in the orbit. Any point. Then, of course, composition is not a problem at all. Okay, let me prove the identity. Equals 1 here. So look what we have. So we will begin with the right end. So first you will make t squared, right? Then x, y, x minus 1, y minus 1, and you see that within this contour there is no singular points here. It is 1, of course, right? In the same style, you will immediately prove that xt equals 1, y minus 1, t y minus 1, t equals 1. The recipe here is like this. So you need to apply, for instance, here, first t, then x. So the initial desire is to move to the right. No, it's wrong, because the first was reflection. You need to move in the opposite direction, change the orientation. So it will be like this, and like this. Again, no punctures inside. So what done? So here we're practically, that is the end of the story. Now I need to do the following. So for the first time, I already mentioned that I want to make it t minus a times t minus b. But you can renormalize. You can really make the determinant 1, at least the determinant of t squared 1. The reason are just because of the calculation of the monodromy, actually, why we like this particular representation. But of course, the key point is that we really want this guy to be of determinant 1, t squared at least, t squared of determinant 1. Right? But I will pay for this, because as I mentioned, that because of the, in the initial problem, there are 2 parameters, there are 2 parameters here, and I will need to renormalize everything. So there will be some corrections here. It will be t will be corrected, x will be corrected in the opposite direction, et cetera, et cetera. So there will be only one place to change in this definition, my new parameter will appear exactly in this particular place. Look what we have here. Here we have balanced combination, whatever the multiplicative correction are, right? It will be unchanged. So it will be exactly the correction of t. If I want the quadratic relation for t be good means some kind of prescribed, depending on one parameter, then this correction will appear here. Generally, it is a very simple arithmetical calculation. You have a and b here. A and B, right? You can divide T by a constant, right?
Describe the relation.
No, this is definition. This is the end of the story. This is definition of Dachau, right?
But what is realized in pi 1 is Q equal 1, no?
So for pi 1, of course, there is no Q, but this Q appears in the quadratic relation. But if you just multiply by a constant, by a proper constant, I can make it nice, but I will pay for this. This Q, this coefficient of proportionality will appear immediately here. No, it is just it is imposed because we know we calculate the monodromy of Lame equation and see that it satisfies quadratic equation. That's exactly the reason. Okay. And this is of course the key, because immediately there is a theorem.
Previous part you associated the
Dachau
group, GLN or some other group, which group is
yes, but this is A1, SL2, not GL2, SL2. There is, as always in this business, there is quite a difference between SL theory and GL theory. SL is the beginning of the story about arbitrary rule systems, actually. This is SL's story. You see, this problem didn't appear. When you do GLN, you just remove the diagonal and no problem, you can divide. No RBFold groups will appear. But here you need to do little something. But you see, it is really little something. Okay, so this picture clarifies everything. Moreover, before the theorem, and before even before the quadratic...
This is the quantum mechanics of a single particle on a contour.
Yes, or exactly the story about CP1 without 4 points. Daha gives rigorous, final, ultimate quantization of the story about CP1 without 4 points. But you need to consider CCXC1 case when you have 4 parameters, the corresponding kinesthetics of system, etc., etc. So Daha gives the ultimate quantization of this problem. But we are doing now something special when we prefer to do as much as we can with elliptic curve here. Anytime we can go to CP1 without 4 points, anytime. It is well known that you will get something like Huhn equation instead of an Nasemtsov equation if you do it. These things are known, are very much classical actually. How to go from elliptic curve with one puncture to CP1 without 4 points here. Okay, so we are done, and then immediately there is a corollary of this approach that we have S and T operators. So first let me begin with this S operator. X will go to Y minus 1. Let me just see what was the normalization. Yes. Supposed to be to go to X, but it will go to X T squared. So what do we have here? We have a theorem from topology, of course, very simple theorem from topology. Ignore, of course, quadratic relation, it is irrelevant here. So you can just play with this particular picture and you will get the action of S, which is just transposition of the periods, of course. And then you will get the T operator. T operator, leave X unchanged and multiply by Y by X on the left. This is important. A priori, we have this group has the action of S operator and T operator, but they don't satisfy any longer the standard classical relation for matrices. They satisfy the relations from projective PSL to Z. So let me just change them correspondingly. So this is called tau plus in my paper. This is sigma because there is some road to reach S from this guy here. Then tau minus is defined in the same way. So what is the relation? The relation due to Steinberg of projective PSL to Z. So this, they form projective PSL to Z, which is actually braid B2. Not the curve, but B2. Okay, here we are. Tau minus is defined in the same style. Y will go well unchanged, and X will go to YX U plus 1 over 4. And the relation will be braid relation. Sigma will be tau plus tau minus minus 1 tau plus and tau minus minus 1 tau plus tau minus minus 1. Here we are. So braid relation. All this stuff is topological, very good exercise. If you want to learn topology as quickly as possible, you can just go through this calculation, then read the papers by Biermann and Scott, and then you, I believe you are done. There is not much in topology, which really is so much exciting, like these calculations, practical calculations. You just deform the contours of the contours, you see what is going on here, so very much enjoyable. And very much productive. You see, you need to get this relation and all the definition from scratch. Okay, so this is corollary, which is so much important because still, maybe not for my particular talk, but the destination will be, of course, Fourier transform, and here we have already Fourier transform. And then let me just, without putting any words on the blackboard, let me spell it. So this guy definitely satisfies, we say in mathematics, PBW, weak theorem. Weak theorem means that you can order normally these operators, YXT. Look, you can move X through T. T satisfies quadratic relation, which is extremely important. Otherwise, it will not work, right? T and T minus 1 are the same, actually, right? Y can move through T, and Y can move through X. That's it. You can order your operators in any way you wish. There are 6 possible orderings here, right? And then it is closely connected with the key theorem. And actually, the beginning of the Daha story is that we have polynomial representations. So, you consider Laurent polynomials, the Fock space fog representation. Really, it is a deformation of the fog space in the classical story about Weyl algebra or Heisenberg, if you wish. So T will go to T1 half S plus T1.
Didn't you say that T squared, T minus
1 in the setting? No. T minus here. No. Just a new parameter.
Just the relations.
Okay.
Never mind.
Okay. But still, the count is correct. Two parameters must survive because of the original problem here. And then you have the deformation of the classical theory about Fock representation. Just Fock representation, nothing beyond this. But the formulas will be very interesting, actually. S minus 1. So first of all, you will immediately check that this is here we have divided difference, and divided difference will nicely preserve Laurent polynomials, polynomials in terms of x and x minus 1. And then it works nicely. And then the x, of course, will go to x, just multiplication, like in the Fock representation. Fock representation with respect to x, of course, right? And then the end of the story is about y, s is already defined, but let me just redo it here, the formula for y. So what I need to put here is, what is the action of s, of course, x minus 1, and gamma will be translation by 1 half, q 1 half x. Elementary difference operator, multiplicative difference operator here. So we are done. So we will have representation, and this representation, then simple stuff is that for generic QT, it is reducible, semi-simple, etc., etc. Reducible, etc. For instance, you can diagonalize it immediately. Formulas are well known, the spectrum is well known, everything is well known. So ENs R x to n plus, in a sense, lower terms. I need to be more specific here. You have here positive guys and negative guys, plus lower terms. For positives, it is exactly only the guy, okay. Plus the sum of cm x to m, where the absolute value of m is always never greater than absolute value of n, x to n, and if n is positive, then there will be no x to minus n. So we have obvious filtration here when it is positive. So this is exactly how they behave, and then the formula for spectrum is equally simple. N plus k divided by 2, n minus k divided by 2. So this happens for strictly positive n. For strictly positive n, and I need to do a little something. So t equals q to k. It is actually almost practically the same k as it was in the Lambert equation. Same k, actually. Q must be defined, but k is exactly from the story about Lambert equation. And then if it is zero or negative, then the formula will be like this. So well done, we have the spectrum for generic, of course, Q and T. Okay, then of course the story, so well done with two. Yes, ask questions, please. They are non-symmetric, they are called non-symmetric MacDonald polynomials for A1 or non-symmetric Rogers polynomials. Non-symmetric. Upon the symmetrization, you will get immediately Rogers, classical Rogers polynomials. Y plus minus 1 upon the restriction to sim will be the famous Rosenhaus-MacDonald operator t 1 half x minus t minus 1 half x minus 1 divided by x minus 1 times gamma plus the conjugate guy t 1 half x minus 1 minus t minus 1 half x divided by x minus 1 minus x and gamma minus 1. And then eigenfunctions, by definition, eigenfunctions of these operators are Rogers polynomials with proper normalization. Or the simplest example of MacDonald's polynomials here. Here you'll get non-symmetric, of course, theory. Upon this symmetrization, you can go from E's to eigenfunctions of this symmetrization. So we say that Y is a difference Dunkel operator in this context. Because using Y, you can get the first M operator. M operator stays for MacDonald operator or MacDonald Rosenhaus operator. Okay, there is a story, but really it is not that important. Symmetrization, I will not consider symmetrization, at least for a while. So practically all questions can be answered, right, about polynomial representation, with one reservation. So we expect some kind of deep theory, truths of unity, and...
what happens? I mean, you have a theory...
Because of PBW, you have Fock representation. And Fock representation appears to be the polynomial representation, and everything can be answered to this polynomial representation. Just next step, Wierlinde algebras, right? Well, I'm going to make Q a root of unity. And then immediately, as I already promised, Wierlinde algebras will appear. Yes. Pi 1 was used already to get three relations from these four, right? Then it appears this algebra is absolutely interesting on its or in its own right, because then there is a corollary, again, topological corollary, right? And then it appeared that this, and it is a very special feature of elliptic curve, of course, this and this particular local system, which leads to this quadratic relation for t, right? It appears that it has Fock representation. It satisfies PBW or it satisfies weak theorem.
Where is, I thought that was Dach.
Yes. The theorem is that you will get a representation of H acting on what? Acting on CXX.
But what's the connection of double H and this pi 1?
The group algebra of pi 1 appeared, right? Then we divided it by quadratic relations, and it is the end of the story. This is Dach. And it appeared that this object, which is so much topological, has a nice representation. Now we are doing algebra.
If you take pi 1 of the symmetrized power,
bind
its diagonals.
Yes. So all this stuff exists for arbitrary systems and actually beyond.
This is rank 1 now.
Yeah, this is rank 1, guys. Rank 1, of course. Right. Yes, very special case, of course, clear to everyone, right? Question, so I'm going to switch to the next level and to the more or less the end of the story.
I'm sorry, I missed something about the relation between the Fock representation and these irreducible representations. So
for generic Q and T, the Fock representation is irreducible.
Okay.
But on the other hand, there are some good features. It is semi-simple. I diagonalized it right away. Moreover, it has inner product, which I'm going to skip for a while at least. It has inner product. Let me give you the formula. The formula is FG constant term, because we are doing Laurent polynomials, no need to integrate, then bar conjugation, and then the McDonald, celebrated McDonald function. Here we are. So we have inner product here, Hermitian inner product. Yes, please.
And do these sigma and tau also act on that representation?
Wait. Good question. It is exactly, it will be surprise. So first of all, we know very well that Fourier transform does not act in the Fock representation. It changes X and Y, right? Fock representation is with respect to X or with respect to Y, but never with respect to both, right? So here we have what? Tau minus, you remember there was tau minus acts in polynomial representation, but only tau minus. Tau plus doesn't act. Because if tau minus and tau plus act, then Fourier transform acts, and this is nonsense. Because the image of polynomials must be delta functions, of course, right? This cannot be like this. Unless you manage to find finite dimensional representations. This is exactly what we are going to achieve using roots of unity. The second tract is even more interesting. Not more interesting, but anyway, you can play with k, with parameter k, or with parameter t, and with roots of unity.
Oh yeah.
For generic guys, it depends on 2n parameters. Anyway, there is quite a story.
You can't say this is a unique.
No. Really, very good question. I'm sorry about this. I was supposed to say that normal representations here are induced from x or from y. And then you will have the whole story about Kardan-Lustig polynomials, et cetera, how to, some of them are irreducible, some of them are not. So we have classification. Classification is deeply geometric in terms of affine Springer fiber. So it is very much geometric story, actually. It is something which I am hiding from you. There is another definition of Dach using K-theory of affine flag varieties. If you use it, you will get some kind of theorem. But naively, you can begin with you can just take Fock representation, or you can begin with any vacuum with respect to X and see what you can see. Almost always it is, of course, irreducible. But sometimes for special lambdas, it will be not reducible. This is exactly the story. So we have many representations. Essentially, they depend on the parameters lambda 1, lambda 2, lambda n, essentially.
with respect to X with respect to Y here. Okay, so here we are, right? White is called double fine Gecky algebra because it's a very special case, is a fine Gecky algebra. When you disregard this, but anyway, it's very, very simple degeneration. You need only to pick this relation, you will get a fine Gecky algebra. And the fine Gecky algebra is very deep, in spite of very simple definition, is a very deep mathematical object, of course. We know this. This is double fine Gecky algebra. So we'll have all the troubles with the fine Gecky algebra squared, but sometimes there is some simplification. Unfortunately, it is not true. So sometimes double Gecky algebra is much easier to deal with than a fine Gecky algebra. But this is a special track. Okay, so we're done, I believe, right? With Daha, and then I need to finish the story. Verlinde algebras. What I can say about Verlinde algebras. Okay, so still it is tempting. Okay, what I can sacrifice is exactly this formulas. But let me keep as much as I can this topological origin and the formulas. Let me erase it still. Yes, it's about time. So we're done. There are some definitions, very simple definitions. Three definitions. Why I'm erasing it? Because I will define Daha using only these three formulas, three lines for these operators here. So let me assume that Qn equals 1, and then theorem is, and there is one more assumption, very much important, it is exactly the story about beta ansatz. If you don't want beta ansatz, then you assume that T equals Q to K, and you take K an integer or half integer. So K will be from n over 2, and let me assume that it's an integer. Then you will avoid Betanzas. Otherwise, Betanzas will appear right away in this business. Okay, well done. Of course, because of roots of unity, let me give the name for this guy, Fock representation, polynomial representation, P. Immediately, because of roots of unity, there will be central elements as always. So let me show you one central element. 2n plus x minus 2 to n. Very easy to check that this guy will be central. Here. This representation is faithful, and calculations of this kind are very straight. This is a faithful representation, always for arbitrary roots of, including roots of unity, always a faithful representation. So checking that this guy is central is sort of trivial, and you can immediately get a representation of dimension of 4n when you divide by the central element for arbitrary C. If you want to get Verlinde algebras, let's make it 2 first, right? Then the theorem is that there is a submodule of dimension 2n plus 2k, and the quotient v of dimension 2n minus 2k. K is in this range. So, and then the end of the story. So, v 2n minus, 2n minus, 4k, of course, sorry, I just forgot. 4k. Spring and 4k. 4k 2n minus 4k is perfect. Perfect means, so first of all, S operator and T operator will act here now. Proof. It has a very small dimension. It is, in a sense, it is unique. You know, there is in the story about Weyl algebra, there is only one theorem and nothing beyond this theorem, that Weyl algebra at roots of unity has a unique irreducible representation of dimension n, of course, right? Here it is more or less the same, but dimension will be 2n minus 4k. 2n is just because 2n here is the base of this theory. So 2n, it will be smaller than Weyl representation. Because we allow ramification, and the classical representation, which would be of dimension 2n, will get smaller here, right? And because of this anomalous, so to say, dimension, it is absolutely unique. Very easy fact, it is unique. Because it is unique if you apply outer automorphisms, like tau plus, tau minus, or s, which I erased, it is still here. Then, of course, automatically it will become inner automorphisms. So already you have s operator, t operators, T operator, T stays for tau plus, S stays for sigma. Moreover, you will have inner product, because this decomposition is very much explicit. You simply divide P by the radical of the pairing which I already mentioned. Fg bar times mu constant term. Constant term. So divide by the radical, you will get a non-degenerate form right away. because explicitly you will just divide by some non-degenerate form here. So you have inner product, and of course you have multiplication. This is the simplest thing to do, because you divide polynomial representation by an ideal. Of course it has all the structures, it has multiplication structure. So we're done, we have something which looks like Verlinde algebra, and it is Verlinde algebra, but you need to do a little something here to make it exactly Verlinde algebra. So what must be done? First of all, we need to kill, of course, the parameter k. K is 1 for Verlinde. Verlinde corresponds to the simplest possible case when t equals q. Actually, the simplest possible case is when t equals 1. Then double affine Geek algebra becomes just Weyl algebra, almost directly. You remember the key relation was y minus 1, x minus 1, yx, t squared, q 1 half, equals 1. So what will happen when t equals 1? Quadratic relation will disappear, it will be just t squared equals 1, automatically, right? So we can rename, you can call ts, and this will just disappear, and you will get Weyl algebra extended by reflection. Reflection appears absolutely everywhere, of course. So this is the simplest case. But after this case, the simplest next to it, case which is very close, of course, to the previous one, is exactly when t equals q. So first t equals q. Then you need to consider, you can do it in general, you can consider symmetric elements only. The images of symmetric polynomials, if you wish. So you take this representation of dimension 2n minus 4k and take only symmetric part. The dimension will be, as always, almost 1/2, but as always, 1/2 plus 1, and for anti-symmetric part, 1/2 minus 1. So the dimension will be n minus k plus 1. Okay, so, and when k is 1, you will get exactly n minus 1. So then when k is 1...
Sorry, what did you mean by symmetric?
Symmetric part, two definitions. First of all, you can consider images of even polynomials, symmetric polynomials here, generated by x plus minus 1. Much smarter definition is just to say that symmetric means that this guy x like t1 half. This is a universal definition for arbitrary representations. But this representation is directly from polynomials, and of course symmetric means they come from symmetric polynomials. Directly, right? And then if you combine, so Verlinde means 2n when k is 1, and you take symmetrization. So this, then it will be Verlinde. Verlinde algebra is generated. The
winner. Wait, I have a really stupid. I mean, you have polynomials in one variable. So
yes. Hmm? X plus x minus 1.
Oh, I see. If I think of x and x minus 1 as different variables, so
let me just put it from x plus x minus 1 and any polynomial of these guys here, right? From these guys. Or it is better just to use functorial definition than the corresponding eigenvalue of the T operator, which controls symmetry. It is very simple calculation, of course. It is not absolutely limited, maybe, but very simple, of course. That the eigenvalue must be T 1/2. Then if it is minus T to minus 1/2, the second value, we call them T anti-symmetric. These guys are just symmetric without any T. But the second set of eigenvalues will be T antisymmetric, like T determinant, etc., etc., etc.
Those aren't polynomials in X minus X minus 1?
Not any longer, because you divide it by the ideal. Okay, so immediately you can calculate it explicitly, because if you divide by some semi-simple ideal, this guy will be semi-simple ideal, and then you can calculate it right away. So I have 4 minutes, let me first finish technically the talk, right? And then I will show you absolutely explicit formula using delta functions. So far it is in this definition somehow close to the description of the Verlinde algebra using characters. So we don't have here delta functions. How delta functions will appear? You divide by this.
Yeah, so
definitely it will be located at the points which are zeros of this polynomial. But not all of them will appear because of this factorization here. Okay, but anyway, we already have our object. It has all the structures, and the statement is that if you simplify everything, if you make t equals q or k equals 1, you will get exactly Verlinde algebras. Okay, so then...
Verlinde algebra for SU2.
Yes, for SU2, right. For yes. So what is Verlinde algebra? So still we are not done. So what is classical Verlinde algebra? Let me refresh it. I was going to do it, but first we reach some kind of technical description of Verlinde algebra via fundamental group of elliptic curve with one puncture directly, right? But what is the classical definition? You consider integrable modules of
SL2 hat, right, of level. Level, let me see, of level, a fixed level C, right? Then you consider the vector space generated by integrable models, so you will get V, and the dimension will be, of course, C is, let me connect it, Cn minus 2, Cn minus 2. Dimension will be n minus 1, the number of integrable models here, right? Here I will show the dimension. Good, right? So, and then what? And then you have structures. First of all, it's linear space, just linear space. So first of all, historically it was S and T operator due to Katz and Peterson. Then fusion appeared, fusion. My paper for arbitrary fusion from N to M for arbitrary integral modules, and there was a paper by Louise Dobbin here. A little bit before Verlinde. My paper maybe was like 1 year before Verlinde. For Louise, I don't remember exactly. Before definitely, but how long? Maybe 1 year, maybe 2 years before Verlinde. Something like this, anyway, right? Fusion. Then what Verlinde did? Verlinde did something really remarkable. He had an inner product. All three people missed that there is a simple inner product, right? And he created a new structure, right? So these are just pieces and of the puzzle, and he showed us a picture. The picture is that we have now a formalization of the notion of the Fourier transform, the best we have in mathematics, actually, by now, actually. So if you have all these structures in place as T operators fusion, and then inner product, positive, definitive, possible, right? Sometimes it is not depending on your choice of the root of unity here, right? Then you'll have a new structure in mathematics. So this exactly why there are all the reasons to call it Verlinde, in spite of some predecessors in mathematics and physics here. Okay, this is the definition. Equivalent definition, you can consider quantum groups at roots of unity, whatever the definition, like Lustig's or Katz and de Concini, and consider the so-called reduced category, when you ignore representation of Q dimension zero, equivalent definition. But this is, of course, classical one, and this is simple. So what is non-trivial here? Fusion is, of course, non-trivial here. S and T operators follow from the formulas, explicit formulas for the characters, right? But still, they are quite involved. You need about 20 pages of calculations to make the formulas explicit here. And then, of course, inner product. Inner product is the simplest possible thing but to define, but still, only with all these structures in the present, you will get really something which make us so much excited, actually. Because it is Fourier transform. We have some kind of axioms for Fourier transform. Okay, here we are. You consider again level, I connect it with N, and then we have exactly Vn minus 1. Okay, let me erase it. This is a story about classical Verlinde. Oh, by the way, what is this guy? It is Verlinde, which serves logarithmic conformal theory. It was identified, this is non-semi-simple. This is semi-simple, this is non-semi-simple. So we'll get non-semi-simple Verlinde algebras with S operator, with T operator, whatever you wish, but non-semi-simple. Multiplication, there will be not exactly a linear space of delta functions. There will be some nilpotents here. And this serves in examples, Tupinian and others, mainly Tupinian actually, they calculated, they identified exactly, I classified in my book all Verlinde algebras, and they found that this particular guy is exactly something which serves logarithmic conformal field theory. Okay, so let me erase it. So essentially, I'm done, and then just one more message, right, about 4, when T is arbitrary.
So wait, what about K not 1?
Okay, so where we are? So we have, of course, something, we have something which is very much general. So there is an absolutely legitimate question, but now it is a question. I'm answering your question, right? I'm already done 31 minutes, right? So your question, so what is the meaning of this key, right? So we have.
Let's get the statement before. So what is the statement? The V2n minus 4?
If you consider SIM, 2n minus, 2n minus, sorry, if you consider V SIM, the dimension will be n minus k. So first, you must make k 1, and then you must consider symmetrization. Then you will finish with Verlinde algebra.
Okay.
This is a statement, right? Yes. But I somehow treated maybe not exactly non-intentionally treated your remark as question. The question is, what is the meaning of this, guys? When you don't do symmetrization here first, because you see, the whole approach indicates that symmetrization is unnatural. We need non-symmetric version because it comes from monodromy directly. Symmetrization is a sort of not quite clear to us, right? Topology requests non-symmetric Verlinde algebras, non-symmetric MacDonald polynomials, everything must be non-symmetric. And then what is the meaning of this K? K measures ramification. Verlinde algebras still, there is a theorem, very simple theorem, still are about ramified, unramified covers of elliptic curve. And when K is really non-trivial, you'll get something which is about ramified covers of elliptic curves. So what is the meaning of these guys? They are perfect from any viewpoint, but just have no interpretation so far. But fortunately, we have. I can say something here.
So just some trivial thing, which is that you use the letter V in these two things, but they are doing different
things, right? V is a quotient.
But there is also V to n minus 4 k.
Yes, this is dimension, just the dimension.
Because that depends on n and k, not just the difference.
Yes, yes.
But the notation suggests that it depends only on 2 n minus 4 k.
Yes, 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 this is true, because there is a, you see, in this business, both questions are correct, because in this business, if you know the dimension, it is unique. Dimension uniquely, like for spinner representations, you say Vn representation for SL2. N is dimension, right?
Yeah, but you're saying that if k is equal to 1, then 2n minus 4k is equal to n minus 1, and that's not the case, right? So.
No, just calculation of the dimension, nothing else. So the corresponding representation, okay.
The notation V n minus 1, it's just, let's just use VL or something. It's a Verlinde algebra.
Yeah. So, okay. So V, so V module, right, when K equals 1, right, and when upon taking symmetrization, right, let me show now it is not confusing, V n minus 4K. Right, is Verlinde. Classical Verlinde for SL2, of course. Classical Verlinde algebra. Okay. Sorry, for this I just skipped it somehow, but this is absolutely legitimate because dimension uniquely determines the representation.
But in what sense you said you also get logarithmic?
The image, not the image, the kernel of this map, can be interpreted using logarithmic conformal field theory. Again, in the same business, but k must be, because of some reasons, n minus 1 rather than 1. So there is some special formula for k. Good question. K is not exactly 1, but it's sort of simple, very special.
You mean the kernel of the
projection? The kernel of this map, right, of dimension v to n plus 4k, and then you need to do something with k.
You mean the kernel of the other map?
The image is Verlinde, the kernel is logarithmic Verlinde.
Of course.
And it is non-semi-simple, because something must happen here, of course. So this is semi-simple, right? Semi-simple, this is not, and this is a search logarithmic kernel theory in examples.
But then it's also
plus k, because 2n plus 4k, plus 4k. It is bigger than 2n. The median is 2n here, right?
You have to take a symmetrization?
Yeah, absolutely in the same style. You take symmetrization here. K is 1, if I remember correctly. Still, if I remember correctly, K is 1. This is due to Tupinian and others, right? Examples are known only for SL2, by the way. For even for SL3, it was not identified properly. So here, it is total identification for arbitrary root systems. Here it is, so to say, in process, but it was really 100% identification.
You're saying this statement here is generalized to arbitrary root systems?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, and well beyond, because you can sort of see check C and something else.
This identification.
Identification of Verlinde, yes. And this is relatively simple, because we know that Verlinde has two bases of delta function and characters. Characters are classical characters here. And classical characters are special cases of MacDonald polynomials. So we have all the tools to identify them immediately. With S operators, with T operators. Okay, so essentially I'm done with one thing.
Let's do this. Let's finish the talk. Let's clap.
Yes, maybe it's a good idea. So then I will take something about Wesdomin, Witten, Higgs.
Are there any questions?
Yes, sure.
which is organizing.
Just to make sure I understood, so it's not known how to interpret the general case of K not equal to 1?
Confirm, positive. It is not known. Moreover, it is not known what are non-symmetric polynomials even in simple examples. But there are very few examples when we understand what are non-symmetric characters, for instance, what non-symmetric polynomials are. And then if you take symmetrization, then we are, of course, much more comfortable. Still, it is not known what happens when K is 2. They are getting smaller, smaller, smaller. What is the meaning of this? We don't know.
But you just said that it only depends on the difference. Oh, yes. K important. Why is K important?
You can play with K. It can be 1.
You can also just n and
you get
the same number. So.
The inequality can be greater than n over 2. Then if it is greater, then everything is okay with this construction, but you will get non semi-simple object which is connected with the kernel. There is some duality with the kernel then.
So it's not that it only depends on 2 n minus
1. Yeah, so we have Verlinde algebra 1, exactly when K equals 1. Verlinde algebra 2. Do we know the meaning? No, we don't know the meaning of Verlinde algebra 2.
But just to be clear, so it does not, this representation of the algebra does not depend on just the combination
that's
of minus 4.
Otherwise,
it depends on n and k separately.
Yes, it is. So here we have qt, right? And t equals q to k. What else? This is an object, right? This is a representation, of course, which depends on t and q, right? But within the representation theory of this particular object, when everything is fixed, the dimension is sufficient to identify it uniquely.
No, but of course, if you know already k, then the difference, you know what n is, right? So it depends on n.
No, this notation is adjusted to this story when dacha is fixed from the very beginning, actually, right? So dacha must be fixed. You are doing dacha. T is fixed. Q is selected, properly selected. Yes. Q is the root of unity, t is q to k or whatever it is, they are fixed. And then within this representation theory, right, the dimension is unique to identify it uniquely, which gives immediately the proof of the existence of S and T operators.
So it should be a parameter case.
Yes, sorry for this. So it is really somewhere in the beginning of the book, you say, we are doing dacha, right? And then during 400 pages, you never mentioned it again. So, and then it is not confusing. But of course, it is definitely, it can be confusing for you. So, yes, please.
But I still have another question on the main part of the talk, which is, okay, so if I see a classical Schrödinger algebra, of course I think of two things. I think of the Bessel-Mollet model, which I think you'll address here. Mm-hmm. But I also think of equivariant K-theory, and I was just wondering if you have any...
Yes. Yeah. Yes, so this is a special case. So polynomial representation is not a strange. It is not, it is more involved than maybe I can afford. So you consider the cotangent space of G affine B multiplied by G affine B hat. Hat stays for cosmodic always, right? And then you have some kind of special Lagrangian subvariety, and then Verlinde algebra is equivariant K-theory, T equivariant K-theory of lambda. Exactly, right? If you take here equivariant theory of one pair GB, you'll get essentially polynomial representation.
Hmm? Well, I was really asking, how is this related to the theorem of Free-Hopkins and Tolman, identifying the twisted equivariant K-theory of a compact group?
You mean theorem Telemann and who others? Grinovsky, Telemann, and Susan, right? Something different?
Fried-Hopkins, Telemann.
Okay, go ahead, please. Yeah. Please explain, then maybe I will be able to comment.
And they proved that the twisted equivariant K-theory of the compact group G is isomorphic to the Verlinde algebra. Well, first of all, the twisting can be identified at the level, an element of H4 of BG is equal.
Mm-hmm. But this is a priori, Verlinde algebra comes from representations. Representations are from K theory. This is maybe something which you can expect. Let me show you what this gives. If you consider only one of them, I will skip the definitions here, you'll get exactly the polynomial representation. Then in K theory, we'll find flag varieties, definitely some quotient. This quotient can be recognized easily. In Vassero-Varagnolo paper, they classified all finite dimensional quotients in the same style, actually. So they correspond to some, say, still cohomology Springer fiber here. Then all Wernicke algebras can be found there here. You do some kind of cohomology here, right? I find Springer fiber exactly, right? From their paper. And then the answer is that there are some special conditions which are necessary and sufficient to make the corresponding representations finite dimensional, something like this. But this is not, unfortunately, it's not about rules of unity. Here it is just direct track. So, but anyway, Wernicke algebra is the quotient of polynomial representation. Polynomial representation is a canonical action of K theory of affine flag varieties on the polynomial representation, which is exactly K theory of G of B. Equivalent theory of GP. And this is exactly what follows from this approach.
And who proved this?
Hmm?
Oh,
it was proven, say, in my book, it was proven about 20 years ago, maybe, something like this. More than 20, because the book, more than 20. This particular stuff about perfect representations was known practically from the very beginning of the theory of polynomial representation of Wernicke algebras. The first papers were exactly about rules of unity, and then I found came with definition of perfect representations, which are exactly non-symmetric Wernicke algebras for arbitrary case here.
But the K-theory interpretation is...
K-theory interpretation was practically from almost from day one, actually. This particular claim is due to Grinovsky and Ginzburg, Capranov, Veserov, mainly due to Grinovsky, actually. The interpretation. But this is absolutely immediate, because if you play with this, you look at these guys. These divided differences are from K theory, unmistakably, right? You can immediately identify it, actually, right? Just using the answer, right? Topological definition is... these are the action of TS reflections in the K theory, directly. These formulas are from affine theory, and the affine theory is perfectly understood from the viewpoint of K theory, affine theory. So these divided differences, the source of this divided difference is the affine theory. And affine theory is, of course, about K theory, but non-affine flag varieties, not just affine flag varieties, but non-affine flag varieties. So this was practically clear from the very beginning, actually. The connection. No, just trust us that if you have such divided difference of this kind, then it can be only from K theory. It must be from K theory. You can just, what is K-theory? In K-theory you have some, okay, maybe not now.
Let's do this. So let's thank the speaker again.